Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Final shout out for Thursday's event, the Camo to College fundraising golf tournament at Sycamore Ridge. We would love to have you play. It is not too late. If you're listening to this podcast on Wednesday, we'd love to have you sign up. Go to camotocollege.org. That's one M in camo, C-A-M-O, camotocollege.org. Sign up and come play with us or make a donation on the site. We're trying to raise a little money for a wonderful cause, Camo to College, which helps educate and assimilate veterans into society, private society, after their work in the military. We're going to have a great event tomorrow. If you just want to stop by and say hello, I would guess we will probably be done golfing and maybe have lunch and hang around in a little social hour or two there around 1 o'clock would be my guess, 12:30, 1 o'clock, if you'd like to come by and say hello. Sycamore Ridge is the location, and we would welcome anybody and everyone that listens to the podcast tomorrow, the Camo to College event at Sycamore Ridge, so please join us. We've got a really, really interesting cultural shift taking place in the United States right now, and it went into overdrive on Tuesday when the son of LeBron James, Bronny James, it was learned, collapsed while playing basketball, basically had a cardiac arrest, was rushed to the hospital, sirens blasting, placed into intensive care for, it sounds like, about 24 hours, then placed into a regular room where he is recovering and apparently doing better. And everybody immediately in the United States, I don't care which side of this you are on, I don't care whether you're liberal, progressive, conservative, whether you took the shot, didn't take the shot, there is almost not a single person in America that when they heard this, immediately the first thing that is coming to mind now with all of these is this the COVID jab? Is this a perfectly healthy 18-year-old soon-to-be scholarship athlete at USC, getting ready to embark on his college career, four-star prospect, the son of one of the greatest basketball players of all time, collapsing for apparently no reason, with no warning signs, no previous history, nothing else out there. This used to happen occasionally in July at football training camps when they had two-a-days, and football players would get insanely dehydrated, and they would collapse and have problems. And football altered the way it practices now in July, the way training camps happen, from high school all the way through the National Football League. They used to basically, you know, starve out players from having enough water or Gatorade during practice as a punishment to make them work harder in football. We don't do that anymore. There is perfect nutrition. There's plenty of rest time. They know everything that they possibly need to do to get an athlete to perform at a maximum level without pushing the body too far to where it's going to be a dangerous situation. This doesn't sound like it was anything like that. This was not some intense workout. This was a pretty regular day. It was about 9 in the morning, I guess, when it occurred in an air-conditioned gym, and Bronny James went down. And at the very start of this, we preface that we wish the very best for this young man. We hope this is just a speed bump and he'll be allowed to play basketball again. We don't know exactly what his condition is or how bad it is. We wait when these things happen for more news. We waited for Damar Hamlin. Most people who heard about Damar Hamlin, what he had to say after collapsing with the Bills, didn't like what they heard. But that's okay. This is now an epidemic after a pandemic. We also got the news this week of singer Tori Kelly, who has collapsed with blood clots and is in ICU. She is 28 years old and in perfect physical shape. Browns wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, basketball player Oscar Cabrera Adams, J.J. Watt is retired from the NFL after having a heart issue. More global soccer players than we can count. And perhaps now the most high profile of all is actor Jamie Foxx, who has been in a battle for weeks in a hospital to stay alive after some of the most horrific conditions you've ever heard, which reportedly occurred 48 hours after he got his first COVID shot. This was just recently, because he was getting ready to go film a movie that required it. Jamie Foxx had worked in and spoken with Dr. Peter McCullough, who many of you know is a leading expert on this topic, on the side of be careful about taking an experimental shot. Jamie Foxx, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, consulted Dr. McCullough, as many people do. McCullough says we cannot discuss exactly what we talked about, but clearly he was vax hesitant. Jamie Foxx, the actor in Hollywood, was vax hesitant. He had not taken the jab until recently, after this thing is all over and he's getting ready to go start shooting a movie, and the movie studios require everyone on set to have the shot. So Foxx thought, well, this has been 3 years now. Maybe the shot is better, whatever, I'll take it. And he takes it. And reportedly, that was 48 to 72 hours before he collapsed and has been in the hospital for this long period of time. Blood clots, brain damage, you name it, it's occurred. An otherwise healthy man. Now we have Dr. Peter McCullough going public and saying, look, I know Jamie Foxx a little bit. He called me. He was hesitant of this thing. And McCullough said, and this is pretty bold for a doctor to say because he doesn't know the Jamie Foxx case. He's not treating him. His opinion of Jamie Foxx right now is, quote, he's not telling us the truth, unquote. And what Dr. Peter McCullough is calling on is any of these high-profile celebrities now that have just collapsed and gone down, all of whom have taken the shot for no reason, in perfect physical health, that they need to come clean. What are their doctors telling them? They could do a great public service to all of us to warn the public that there could be a problem here. Listen, if there's this many athletes and celebrities going down because they took the jab, what's happening in the rest of our society? Are you seeing it in your life? We know a couple of people in ours. What on earth have we done to each other? And as bad as it is with the adults and the healthy adults, we're seeing this. What about the children? The children are my biggest concern. We have no idea what happens now when these kids grow. How many minors have been given 4 COVID shots, 5 COVID shots by their parents who just flat out believed in it? I saw an unbelievable meme, I guess is the best way to show it. It was a document on Twitter yesterday that in 1962 in the United States, there were 3 quote-unquote vaccines for children. Polio, smallpox, and DTP. 3. Today, well, in 2019, before the COVID jab for children, so this is 4 years ago, there's more now. I'm sure, well, we know there's more because there's at least one more because of COVID. So this is before the COVID shot. 2019, when COVID-19 started, 54 shots for children that are considered vaccines. Some of them are age-dependent. For example, there are multiple flu shots in that 54. But 51 of the 54, and now 52 of the 55 because of the COVID shot, were not available when I was born, and probably not available when you were born. And so how did we go from 3 very important vaccines for kids to something around 60 now? How did we do this? And what are we doing to our children? I can't even believe we're doing this to our children. I said on Chris DeGaulle's radio show yesterday, and I've told my adult kids this, and they used to say 2 years ago, I said, me and your mom would never have put a shot in you that was experimental, not approved. We would never, as parents, have allowed this, no matter what. If we had to quit our jobs and stay home and teach you, we would not have done this. There is no chance, no way. And 2 of the 3's reaction was, well, you're a terrible dad. You weren't thinking about the other kids and the other people around. You know, there's this virtue thing that works with people. And it's like, oh, well, forget me. I need to do the right thing for other people. I'll sacrifice my health so I can be around other people and not infect them. That's what was going on. And that was the mind F that was going on. Truly mind control, especially impactful for young people who are also hearing it from their teachers. And I said to my kids, there's no way I would have done it. And I'm not bringing it up again because they're adults and they're smart. One of my kids did not ever take the shot. The other 2 were thrilled to take it. But the 2 that took it, I guarantee you now they don't think I was stupid. for saying I wouldn't have done that when you were a minor. It's intuition. It's common sense. There was so much that was missing from all this, and now we have all these people just dropping unexpectedly. And I don't know. I don't have the science. I can't tell you if Bronny James, this is a reaction from a vax or a shot. I can't tell you about Damar Hamlin or Torrey Kelly or Marquise Goodwin or the two basketball players or J.J. Watt or all the soccer players. My God, there must be, there's over a dozen soccer players that have like died since they got COVID shots. Jamie Foxx, impossible medical condition. I can't tell you about any of them. And I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor. But we now have had a societal shift in this country, and it is healthy because we are skeptical. And if there's one thing I love to preach, it's be skeptical. When somebody tells you to do something and you think, I've said this for many years, I've sat around all these coaches and managers and stuff in sports, and then I've interviewed politicians and people in charge and multimillionaires and billionaires, and I've been around them all, and you know what has occurred to me while I'm talking to all of them? That none of them are really special. That they have been incredibly successful because sometimes just because the business they're in pays a lot or they've worked their way up. But there's nothing particularly great about any of these people. There's nothing that I've thought, boy, I'd put my life in their hands. Now, a doctor, totally different. I'm sick, I go to the hospital, you trust a doctor to do whatever. I'm just talking about somebody to make a decision for you, a politician, a Fauci, anybody like that. I question it all. I've been around them. I've seen some of the smartest people that make the most money, and our society deems upon them this celebrity that they are the greatest among us. And what I have learned, by and large, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, is they're sure as hell not any better than me. They're just not. And I will go with my common sense, my intuition, my thoughts about my life and my family, and I will always, always do that before something somebody's telling me to do that sounds fishy. Be skeptical. And what has happened now in our society is the second somebody goes down, whether you were far left and you've got five shots in your body, or you're somebody that would never trust the government and take these things, anywhere in the spectrum now, you heard the Bronny James story. You heard that on Tuesday. And you immediately thought about the shot. I know everyone in this audience did. And I know an overwhelming majority of people on the left did. Now, the media is not going to report it that way. They're still hiding. The big question is, and what Dr. Peter McCullough is saying is, why won't these people say anything? They're doctors. There are more and more doctors now saying, well, of course, myocarditis is a problem. Blood clots are a problem. We know what this shot is doing, especially to young, healthy people. We know what's going on, that there are doctors all over the country. There's medical journals. There's studies in Europe. There's all kinds of things happening around the world in medical studies that we won't possibly study here because it's political here. And it will hurt the Democrats. And everybody knows this. But we see it, we feel it, we know it. And you ask the question, why won't they say something? Which is what Dr. McCullough is asking, and this is really simple. Why won't they say something about the Biden crime family? It's bad for Democrats. They're not going to say it. Most of the people that got it, listen, if you took this thing and you felt really good about it, and you didn't get COVID, and you never got sick from COVID, and a year later, or 2 years later, or 3 days later, you got sick from taking a shot, you're not likely to blame the shot. You're on board with it. You don't want to admit to the world, wow, this was stupid. This was on me. I shouldn't have taken this. This thing's dangerous. You thought you were doing the right thing, and people don't like to admit when they're wrong. I get that. I totally get that. Justin Bieber's another one. Nope, nobody knows what happened to Justin Bieber. He got really, really sick, canceled a tour, was gone for an extended period of time, and nobody really knows what happened to Justin Bieber. Nobody. It's one famous person after another. And if we're going to see this many famous people, whether it's sports, entertainment, whatever, if this many celebrities are going down out of nowhere, almost all of them under 30, if this many, it's going to happen to this many, what's happening in our society? Where's the data? I need to see this. But there has been a culture change now because people joke about this. There are comedians out there making jokes. I watched a stand-up riff from a comedian who said, I'm not a comedian, so I can't redo what he was saying, but he was basically saying, man, they told me I can't go into a pub. He was British. I can't go into a pub unless I get the shot. I got the shot. And he said, you know, this is great. I get to go into the pub for the next 3 years before my heart explodes. They're literally making jokes about COVID shots. That's healthy for our society, by the way. I'm not trying to be overly serious, and I'm not trying to take this too lightly. I want to be very, very middle of the road here, that something really important is happening, and that is our society is shifting. We're now looking at what happened, and we're making fun of it. And we're looking back at some of the people who bought in completely, and we're laughing at them. I'm not talking about laughing at people that are sick. I'm talking about it is okay to do comedy on this now. Because as we look back, it's funnier and funnier every day, the stupid crap they did to us. And as it's pervasive through our culture, it must pay off at the ballot box. It must translate to elections. People must remember who did this and what they're about. Whether you want to look at it seriously and say people are really getting sick, or you want to look back upon it and say, well, it hasn't affected me or anybody I know, but damn, that was pretty funny. 6 feet apart. Plastic partitions. I went to a grocery store the other day. They still have plastic up. And the kid at the counter is like 17 years old. I said, dude, seriously, I can't even, this is ridiculous. I said, who's in charge of this? He goes, I guess the GM. I'm like, where are they? Can I talk to this person? What have we done to ourselves? It's really, really sad. And it was stunning for me. It was really stunning to see that chart that in 1962, we had 3 shots available to children. And now we have something close to 60. That's not right. There's no way. Are kids healthier today than 1960s? I don't think so. Do you? Do you think kids are healthier today? I don't. Let me put it this way. I'm not anti-vax, and I believe people ought to be able to go get any shot you want. I'm good with that. I'd never tell anybody to not take it. But if there's 60 shots out there for children, just ask yourself the question, why are there that many? You think maybe it's the pharmaceutical companies and the government? Do you think that's possible? And again, that's not being anti-vax. There are vaccines that work. I mean, the polio and smallpox vaccines, this is a big deal, right? It changed the world. But these others? I mean, really, like the chart I saw has little babies getting like monthly flu shots when they're babies. And then, of course, every year, every other year as they're teens, like, you're supposed to take 20 flu shots by the time you're 18? Your parent is going to decide for you to go get 20 of these things? Notice how they call it the flu shot, not the flu vaccine, but they call it a COVID vaccine. It's the same damn thing. The COVID shot and the flu shot are the same thing. They think it helps, but it doesn't stop the flu, and it's not going to stop COVID. Lies, lies, lies. I'm sorry, folks. It just kind of makes me sick. And we hope the best for Bronny James. But I don't know anybody, when they heard this yesterday, didn't immediately think COVID shot. All right, more coming up in a moment, including Joe Biden curing cancer. We're brought to you today by the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, which is offering a special this weekend, July 27, 28, 29, just $99 to stay in Manhattan. If you want to do a little staycation and get away, if you want to go out on the Lake Tuttle or play a little golf, or the family-friendly Caw Valley Rodeo. It's July 27, 28, and 29. If you book online or mention KKHI in person, you can walk right in. They're not going to be full this weekend. School isn't in. It's not a busy weekend. If you want to go, the room of choice, just $99. $99, the Bluemont Hotel. That's an absolute steal. The Caw Valley Rodeo is a PRCA event. It's the best in the business. They come to this rodeo to compete, man, and the mutton busting for kids is so much fun. Take your family for a night, go to the rodeo, have a great time, stay in Manhattan for $99 at the Bluemont Hotel. While you're there, you can enjoy Goolsby's and Aggieville before the college kids come back to school. It's all right there, the corner of Aggieville and campus in Manhattan, online at BluemontHotel.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler, family-owned and operated. Tim and Brittany have a wonderful business, and you work directly with the owners. Now, remember, their craftsmen have been with them for a long time. I went over to my buddy's house and saw the work they've done over there, And some of these dudes were like in their 40s and 50s. They've been with Tim for a long time. He pays them well. He pays them first. He pays them before he pays himself. That's how you run a great business. And Tim does that. They're going to remodel your home in a beautiful fashion, whether it's just a new countertop or flooring, or if you want to remodel an entire level of your house like my friend has done, crosskitchenskc.com can do it all for you. Call 816-898-7047 and set up that free consultation with crosskitchenskc.com. And I got onto Tickets for Less yesterday and got my Eric Church tickets for the end of September in West Palm Beach. We're going to see Eric Church at an amphitheater by the beach. It's going to be fun. I got online at ticketsforless.com, and I had this teeny tiny little bit of trouble trying to figure out exactly which seats I was getting. So I called the number, and I talked to the gentleman. He just couldn't have been nicer. I didn't tell him who I was. I was doing this totally anonymously. I said, okay, well, how do I know which seats in that row they are? And he said, well, they haven't been released yet. That'll be at some point later. You're guaranteed your four seats in this row, in this section, and you'll get the exact seat numbers a little bit later. They're brokered tickets, and we're part of a thing. And I said, okay, great. So I went in and I bought the four of them. I plugged in the promo code KKHI. It was the easiest thing in the world, and I got a 5% discount off of four tickets. It saved some real money. You know what it did? It bought us a couple of free beers at the show. The discount, are we going to go to the concert, maybe have a couple of cold ones? That what we saved with the discounts, paying for the beers. That's like getting free beer at a game or a concert. The promo code KKHI, ticketsforless.com. In Kansas City, out of Kansas City, any event, anywhere, anytime. No fees added. Remember, the price you see at Tickets for Less, don't compare them to the other people. If you go to the other sites, they're gonna gimmick you with lower prices and then wait till you see what happens with the fees. Sometimes the fees are 65% more than the price quoted when they add them in. Not Tickets for Less. Price you see is the price you pay until you plug in the promo code KKHI, then your price comes down. We love that about Tickets for Less. Joe Biden told the world he has cured cancer. It is remarkable, and the world is laughing at us. He said he was going to set out to cure cancer, and now cancer, as we know it, doesn't exist anymore. He literally said it because Democrat voters will believe any damn thing a Democrat says. It is so true. They'll believe it. There must be millions of people in America today that believe cancer is not a problem anymore because Joe Biden has solved it. It is remarkable. This man is amazing. This is the worst presidency of my lifetime. Jimmy Carter was horrific, but at least he was competent. He was there. You know, he was doing dumb and bad things, but he knew what he was doing. This guy, curing cancer, you got to be kidding me. Hunter Biden is in court for his plea deal on this day. And a lot of folks are believing the plea deal will have to be extended or delayed because of some mistakes that the attorneys for Hunter Biden made. We'll see how that plays out. There isn't much I can add on this podcast because it hasn't happened yet. But I will tell you this. The people in the media and Democrats running around saying that the Bidens haven't done anything compared to Donald Trump's one phone call to Zelensky that was what? A minute and a half long? 2 minutes long? Less than 5 minutes. One phone call to Zelensky was an impeachment. The website GOP.com has put up bullet points for anyone that wants to hear it. And I just, this is so good that I want everybody to know this and hear this. So I'm going to share it with you. This is from GOP.com, not for me. It basically says, when a Democrat says or asks this, here is the response. Okay, so it's a Democrat says something or asks something, and here's the response. Democrat, Hunter Biden didn't make any money from foreign nationals and entities. Response, according to the IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley, Hunter Biden received $8.3 million at least from Chinese, Ukrainian, Romanian entities over just a few years. Hunter reportedly received $80,000 diamond and a $142,000 Porsche. Democrat says, well, it was just Hunter Biden. No. Response, according to revelations from the House Oversight Committee, a dozen Biden family members received money. Bank records show the Bidens, their associates, and their companies received at least $10 million from foreign entities. That number could be much higher when the investigation is complete. Democrat says, where's the evidence Joe Biden is involved? Response, reported emails and text messages from Hunter Biden and his associates repeatedly referenced Joe Biden's involvement, including a WhatsApp message from Hunter that says he was waiting for the call from a Chinese official with my father. There you go. Democrat, where's the photo evidence that Joe Biden was involved? Response, according to reported photographs, visitor logs, and other documentation, Joe Biden personally met with at least 14 of Hunter's business associates over 16 occasions between 2010 and 2018, including associates from China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and Mexico. Democrat, okay, so where are the witnesses? Response, Tony Bobulinski, a former Biden business partner, detailed publicly how he met with Joe Biden, the big guy, to discuss a Chinese business deal. Devin Archer, Hunter Biden's ex-business partner and, quote, best friend, is set to tell Congress that Hunter was put Joe Biden on speakerphone during meetings with business associates at least two dozen times. Democrat, where's the evidence any of this happened while Joe Biden was vice president? Response, Hunter's business associates reportedly visited the White House more than 80 times while Biden was vice president. There were 20 LLCs that have been identified that were formed by the Biden family during the vice presidency. Not to mention, Hunter even took two trips on Air Force Two to China with his dad. Democrat, still not enough proof to worry me. Response, a highly credible, confidential human source detailed in a $10 million bribery scheme featuring then-Vice President Joe Biden and a Burisma executive. Democrat, why shouldn't I just take Joe Biden's word? Response, Joe Biden claimed his family never made money from Chinese entities. Bank records show they clearly have. He claimed Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation. That has been disproven. It's not. Joe Biden claimed he never discussed business with Hunter, a claim that continues to crumble. Pretty nice. It's at GOP.com if you want to see the full list. It's a great way to refute these things because a lot of people have a difficult time or whatever articulating them, but they are caught and they're in some real trouble here. Okay, Tafari Campbell was the 40-ish, 45-year-old chef for the Obamas that died on that paddleboard outside Obama's home, 100 feet from the shoreline of where he lives there, back in a pond area. They call it a pond. It's bigger than a pond, if you ask me, but it's got breakers from the ocean. It's not ocean waves that he was out doing this on. And this is an eerily quiet story to me. This story now is just a little too quiet for me. We saw a release from Barack Obama and his wife about how heartbroken they are. But it's been a few days now, and we really haven't seen any of the liberal media, the buddies that Obama has, go sit down and interview with him and lavish praises on this young man and talk how about heartfelt and disappointed they are to have lost him and what a tragedy is and what it's meant to so many of you. Haven't seen that, have we? We have not. Authorities in Massachusetts say there is no evidence of anything suspicious. Social media is on fire. The conspiracy theories are amazing. I'm not doing them here. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but several of them are things that if you saw them in a movie or read them in a book, you'd go, okay, yeah, that's part of the deal. Sure, that's possible. Yep, there's plenty of them out there. And social media continues to be on fire with this, and most people in the mainstream won't touch any of it, including me. I just don't want to sit here and get into theories. I asked on yesterday's podcast, I think the biggest question to ask is, why didn't he have a vest on? And I think it's a legitimate question. Do the Obamas not have vests? It sounds to me like he was staying there, that it might have been their paddleboard. Maybe he brought one with him from Virginia, but I don't know that. Do they have a little boathouse near the water where all the equipment is? Maybe there's some sea-doos there or a boat. I don't know what they have or don't have, but there should have been Secret Service on the grounds, plenty of it. And I think it's a legitimate question to ask. Do the Obamas have life vests if you're going boogie boarding or whatever they call it, paddle boarding? Do they have life vests? I think that's a very fair question to ask. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's not any of that stuff. That's just a very fair question to ask. Did he have the option of wearing a life vest? I think that is the single biggest question to ask right now that is not a conspiracy theory, because that is a major problem if he didn't. There reportedly was another paddleboarder. Did he have a life vest on? Is anybody going to ask him, were there life vests available? I think it's a very, very big deal. I'm sorry. If you have that equipment in your house, and I don't know that this was Obama's paddleboards, I can't say that. I don't know. But I haven't heard that it's not. Stands to reason if he's a guest at the house and he's out on the paddleboard, that the paddleboards belong somewhere to the estate. Surely they have a wall full in some boathouse of life vests. Surely that's the case, isn't it? I'm not saying that he didn't have them. He probably just made a dumb mistake. Maybe we'll get toxicology and they were drinking. There could be all kinds of explanations for this. But the crazy part is no life vest. And I think the question needs to be asked. Did he turn it down himself? That one just should be answered right away. If the police had a news conference, I just asked that one right away. Was there a life vest available to him? That's it. Let's just get rid of that one. Because I'm curious about that. Because a lot of people would say, we're just going around the corner. We're going over there to the Edgartown Pond. We're just going right over there. We're only going to be out here for 30 minutes. I'm good. I don't need a vest. I'm good. I can see people doing that. But if there were none available, wow. All right, you'll like this one. The hot new trend in employment in America is called the, quote, lazy girl job, unquote. It's the hot new thing. It's pretty simple. Now, remember, the left isn't all over this yet because it sounds really sexist. Calling something a lazy girl job sounds awful, right? Like you shouldn't be able to say it. Apparently there's some sort of some of this comes from the left and progressives, and it's self-deprecating humor at the same time that you're bragging that you have it so good, you have a lazy girl job. You're also kind of making fun of yourself. So I'm cool with that. I don't look at things and say, okay, lazy girl job, that's sexist. I don't. But I can't imagine the left isn't coming after it unless they're in on it, which it sounds like they are. This is the hot new thing. Here's what a lazy girl job is. A lazy girl job is working from home. You absolutely have to have a cool boss that is not intrusive into what's going on during your day. In other words, you don't have to turn the camera on your computer and they're sitting there watching you all day. Got to have a cool boss. You work from home. You never, never, ever under any circumstances work past 5 o'clock, and you have an hour of zero contact, at least an hour, where everything's unplugged and off. That's like your lunch break or whatever, as if you're not taking enough breaks during the day at home. Coming from one who works at home for the first time in his life, you just don't work as much. You get distracted. My God, there's a pantry full of food up there that's killing me every day. It's just, I can hear the bells going off nonstop. There's food here. You go to a workplace, there's no food. That's good. I kind of feel like, you know, sometimes I'll go in there and grab a couple peanuts or a little granola bar or something out of the pantry. I'm like, I'm no better than all the smokers I worked with all those years. They took those smoke breaks every 30, 40 minutes. And there I go walking toward the pantry. I need to put a padlock on that thing. I have a lazy girl job. I do. I have a lazy girl job. I love the hour of no contact, as if you don't get enough privacy in your home away from your coworkers. That might be my favorite part, but the libs are not after this term, at least not yet. They're not after it yet, so we'll see. These are the most coveted jobs. The salary range most coveted by the youngest people is between 60 and 80,000. And they believe, having grown up listening to their parents say over and over how hard it was at work, had a hard day at work, the boss is mean, I don't like my coworkers, this is a problem, that's a problem, they got too many rules, they got all this and that. After hearing that growing up, they don't care about making $100,000. They'll take $60,000 and work at home and say my life is just better doing it this way. There is, hidden in this, a very conservative streak, a very independent conservative streak that says, I'll be me, you be you. And I'm a little optimistic that all of these young people that are doing this are going to learn about being on their own, about exceptionalism and individualism, and that this will actually be a good thing, that they don't get into groupthink, hanging out in the workplace, conforming. I think these things can be good. I think there are benefits to this. I don't think all of our society should be working from home. But I think for some of the young people that go and do it, I'm gonna guess that in 5 to 10 years, you're going to read a story about some of the biggest and most successful new businesses in America were created on the side working at home at a lazy girl job. that some of these young kids are going to invent things, whether it's an app or a new business or start this thing up, and you're going to, oh, you know, Abby, age 42, owns this business, and they've been in business for 8 years, and she's making, you know, blah, 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 this kind of money and doing da-da-da-da. They'll say, it was all hatched when she had a lazy girl job at age 31, and she was dreaming of this, and she worked on it on the side, and yeah, I did. I wasn't making that much money, didn't think it was a big deal, taking a few hours a day working towards something for me. I think it's going to spawn a whole bunch of businesses. I do. I think lazy is the misplaced word. Yeah, of course there's lazy people working at home. But I think what's going to happen is the extra time people have, especially at a young age, your most creative time when you're trying to think about what's my future, what's my passion, it's probably not this job. What can this become? I think it's going to spawn all kinds of great businesses. I do. And entrepreneurs, which would be really cool stuff. All right, sports today is brought to you by Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Golden Tee, pinball, pool table, shuffleboard. Guys, football season's coming right around the bend. Need new bar stools? They've got it. At Amini's, they also have area rugs and outdoor furniture on sale right now. At Amini's in Overland Park, 105th and Metcalf, also St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. North Kansas City Dental is your new dentist. I know you've heard about this and you haven't made the switch. It's time to make the switch. You're going to like this. You're going to like Dr. Bill Bush and his team, and you're going to know that you're with huge, huge Chiefs fans. He's the dentist to the Chiefs, for crying out loud. He's got great Chiefs stories while you're in the chair. It's cool. He's got really cool sports stories, and he's as conservative as they get. This is your dentist, Dr. Bill Bush, nkcdental.com, north of the river and Westwood, 816-471-2911 to make an appointment. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at advantagetpc.com. You know the drill here, man. It's the same thing. This is a great family-owned business. They're going to treat you with just such complete respect and customer service. You're going to love it. 913-768-8989. If you're an office manager somewhere, talk to your building people about maybe switching to Advantage Termite and Pest Control. If you've seen critters or anything around your office and whatnot, these folks will take care of it. I promise you, they are the best in the business. AdvantageTPC.com is Advantage Termite and Pest Control. And Dr. Jeremy Fry at Fry Orthodontics provides that perfect smile. Whether it's braces or Invisalign, 13 locations in and around Kansas City in the Midwest. This is where my daughter Abby got her beautiful smile, and she is so happy that she did. And it was kind of a fun experience. I mean, I don't think she looked forward to going to her treatments, but when she got there, it became a fun experience. They are pretty entertaining. It's an optimistic, upbeat, happy place. That's a big part of this, especially with teenagers. Very important. FryOrthodontics.com. Your smile is just the start. Invisalign is the same price as braces at Fry Orthodontics. On to sports. I like this one. Sean Payton's the new coach of the Denver Broncos. He lost a defensive lineman this week for the entire year for betting on NFL games last year. Now, it doesn't matter if you're just sitting at home on your app and you play for the Denver Broncos and the Chiefs are playing the Raiders and you bet $50 on the Chiefs to cover against the Raiders. That's against the rules, and they will suspend you, and they are not messing around in the NFL. They are long suspensions. There's about a dozen players that have been caught with this. It hasn't been more prevalent in the news because there's not really been a big-name player. Well, they lost this guy for a year, and Sean Payton is not complaining necessarily about the policy, although Sean Payton is a truth teller. I like this guy. He's a fraud and a cheater. He got in trouble. I just love it that he calls out others, though, as well. And I think a lot of this comes from the way they treated him when he had his scandal and where he had to, you know, he couldn't be on the sideline and couldn't coach and all this other stuff. He points out that we have actual NFL owners that own parts of DraftKings and FanDuel, own the gambling sites, and every team that can, and the entire league has sponsorships with gambling. And we're going to kick players out of the facility for a year because they bet on a Chiefs-Raiders game or something when you play for the Broncos? I don't know. It might have been a Jets-Dolphins game. Who knows what game it was, but it doesn't matter. There have been a couple players that they found bet on themselves to win a game. They're not saying how much or how often, but this guy's gone for the year, and Peyton's beef is that the owners own these things, and the players can't be part of it, and then when they get caught, He's like, okay, I understand why players can't bet on this. But when they get caught, this dude has to go home. He's gone. He's out. They can't keep him like on the practice squad and develop him as a player and let him come lift weights and sit in the team meetings and all this other stuff. They can't do that. He's gone from the facility. And Sean Payton says, you're not doing anybody a favor by doing that. You send somebody just gone, that's bad. Payton says he told his team on the first day of camp, he said, here's the rule, guys. You know where you can carry a gun and you can't, right? You can't take one on the airplane. You can't take it on the road. You can't take it at the hotel. You can't bring it in the facility. You can't, there's all kinds of places that you can legally have a gun, but the NFL doesn't allow you to have a gun. Gun owners in the NFL basically know this. And he said, anywhere your gun policy doesn't apply, you can't bet on a game. Just because you leave our state where there is no gambling and you go somewhere else where there is, doesn't mean you can place a bet. It's out. You can't place a bet. You cannot place a bet. You cannot place a bet in any way, shape, or form in the NFL. And for the life of me, I don't get this, because most players have a friend or a spouse that they could easily say, hey, listen, put $100 on the Dolphins Monday night, you know, or whatever. If you just want a little action, your friend can put it in the app for you. So there's stupidity involved with this as well. There's zero indication that anything nefarious has happened. And we're not talking about players that can make a difference in a game anyway. And unless and until we find out an official in the NFL is doing this, there is no problem. We find out officials are talking to their friends and saying, give me $5,000 on the Chiefs against the Lions, and we watch the Lions get 7 penalties to 2 for the Chiefs, then we'll have something to talk about. Justin Herbert is the new highest paid player in the NFL. Chargers quarterback gets 5 years, $262.5 million. That's more than Mahomes, but not for long. The reasoning the Chargers have done this is in his first 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022, Justin Herbert has the number 4 QBR in the entire NFL. So that's good. That's misleading. That's Philip Rivers material. Oh, yeah. Is Justin Herbert the new Philip Rivers? Well, Justin Herbert in those 3 years as the 4th best quarterback in this league has had his head coach fired, 2 different head coaches. They're 25 and 24, and he has 0 postseason wins. Now, is that the resume of the highest paid player in the league? I don't care what the Chargers do. I'm glad they're doing it. That makes the rest of their team not as good, so I'm okay with that. But it looks a little Philip Riversy to me. It looks to me like that organization is going down the same path it's always gone down. We got a guy that racks up stats, a good fantasy player. You know, and I've been critical of I've heard people say they think the best quarterback they ever saw was Dan Marino. I'm like, you kidding me? The guy didn't win a Super Bowl. He went his first year or his second year, right? He went to one. The guy didn't win a Super Bowl. That's not the best quarterback. The best quarterback is the guy that wins the games in the fourth quarter. Justin Herbert's game-ending stats are atrocious. He has more turnovers than touchdown passes. Joe Burrow's right behind him. Joe Burrow's got problems. Joe Burrow don't have any fourth quarter playoff stuff. Not good. Not good. I love Joe Burrow as much as the next guy, but it hasn't happened for him now, has it? Go win the damn game. Make a play. Make a play when it counts. I like Philip Rivers the person. I wish he'd get into broadcasting. He's not. He's off having his 12th child now. So he's not going to be a broadcaster, but he'd be the best. He'd be better than Romo. He'd be better than all of them. He'd be so great. That ain't no Hall of Fame quarterback. That guy couldn't win a game. He'd panic and throw an interception to some fourth string cornerback the Chiefs would have that would pick him off in the end zone and end the game and happen over and over and over. And Herbert's done a whole bunch of that too. A whole bunch of that. You can't pay your quarterbacks off stats. Can't do it. Oh, this is interesting. We'll get into this more down the road. The Protecting Athletes, Schools, and Sports Act is Joe Manchin and Tommy Tuberville regarding college players getting paid money by basically businesses and boosters, NIL. You've heard that term. This is what the federal government wants to do. They want to pass a law where the boosters at colleges are affiliated with schools. Oh, boy. Okay. Boosters are now affiliated with the schools. There would be a national standard for NIL. I don't know how that would hold up in court. I unless it's collectively bargained with a union. I just don't know how they could implement that. This is socialism. They want to put a salary cap on what you can pay to a player. And what would be the crime? The new cheating would be a felony, a federal crime? If you broke the rules of NIL, say you're a car dealer in Lawrence and you want to pay a basketball player a whole bunch of money, if you break the rules of NIL, what can they do? Is that a felony? Is it a jailable offense? How are you going to police this? Who's going to police this? And this is the best one. According to Manchin and Tuberville, schools, conferences, and associations will not be liable to comply. Well, who is then? Just the boosters? So you're going to put the sponsors and the boosters on blast here for potential federal crimes if they don't follow the law. That's your business plan? This is pure unadulterated socialism. Folks, this ship has sailed. When the people in sports media on the left decided it was time to pay anything any college athlete wants, that the college education isn't good enough, which, by the way, if we're moving to this model, the college education should be taxed. That should be taxable income. They're getting it all free, and their meals and their travel, all that stuff should be taxable income. If this is where we're going, it should be taxable income. You can't take free stuff without claiming it. If Mike Robinson wanted to give me a free car from Roberts Robinson to do commercials for him, I'd have to pay tax on that. I can't just take that. That's not how it works. So what is this? What exactly is this? I hate all this. I try to avoid this topic on this podcast. 10 years ago, I was talking on the radio about this, saying this is the end of college sports as we know it. There's no stopping it. It's going to wind up being unionized with a collective bargaining agreement. I think eventually the SEC and some other schools are going to branch off into their own mega league. The athletes will be in a union. They will be represented. They will negotiate with that conference and get paid under salary caps. It will be exactly like the NFL model, the NBA model, whatever. I think that's going to happen. I don't know how you could stop it. And if you socialize this, which is what this is, socialism, if you socialize college athletics, you're going to get a lawsuit. And they're going to say, why can you cap me? How can you cap me on what I can make? Because there's a gymnast down at LSU making $4 million a year taking bikini pictures and putting them online. You're going to stop her? How are you going to stop her from taking bikini pics and making $4 million a year, which is what she's making at LSU? How are you going to do that? The federal government is going to socialize all this? John Sherman's the owner of the Royals. He sent out another letter, open letter, that was 2 pages long. Ask yourself this question. When was the last time you got a 2-page letter? That's the first thing with me and John Sherman. He seems like he's just from an era gone by. A 2-page letter, and you think that's going to resonate with the public. It was long. It was desperate. It was a bit of a clown show. It's a threat to move north of the river. It's a lot of things. It's also really short on specifics of how they're going to pay for it. So I'd make more of this. The headline of this is somewhere late in September, they're going to tell us whether they want to build a ballpark in a ballpark village downtown or north of the river. Okay. News from the University of Kansas is not good. We talked about the bomb threat that occurred on Monday night. They cleared the facility out. It was a player, apparently. Joe Krause from Prairie Village in Shawnee Mission East is a lineman at Kansas. And he has been charged with a level 5 personal felony causing fear and evacuation by making a bomb threat Monday night that cleared out the facility. $10,000 bond, no contact with anyone at the facilities. That's it for his career at Kansas, obviously. Boy, you want to talk about a disgruntled player taking it out on his teammates or staff or coach or whatever. This could be serious jail time. That's a felony offense. Now, maybe a little evaluation is due here. There's probably something psychological here. So we got to be careful, and we hope the best for Joe Krause. I really do. Because this is obviously an emotionally unstable young man. You don't do that if you're not emotionally unstable. What we'd like to see is him get help and move past this. And someday we look back at it and go, well, it was an immature kid doing a really dumb thing. There was no bomb. There was no real threat. But you can't do this. That's a pretty serious crime right there. I know people that know him. Actually know somebody that coached him in basketball when he was little. and up to high school age and know his family and live in the neighborhood, the family is devastated. They're just devastated. They can't believe this. And what I heard from this person was the family's not going to help him. They'll help him get help. They're like, we're not paying your bail. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. You've done this. You figure it out. Wow. Pretty strong stuff. Other news at Kansas, Bill Self says Artario Morris, the transfer from Texas, is, quote, definitely going to play for us, unquote. If you haven't been following it, Artario Morris, the transfer from Texas, has been arrested and charged with assaulting a woman a couple of years ago in Texas, in Denton County, Texas. The alleged victim has now signed an affidavit for non-prosecution, but the Denton County DA doesn't care. They're continuing to pursue charges. We won't get into what may or may not have happened here, but this is a pretty serious charge. And if the person says, no, you don't have to prosecute, this is several months down the road. This happened a long time ago. Texas knew about all this. This is an older event. And the DA is saying, no, we're going to continue to pursue charges. That could be fairly serious. Morris was scheduled to begin a trial August 2nd, next week. That's now postponed until probably October. He may have to leave the team in October to go sit in a trial because he's been charged with assault. And Bill Self says Artario Morris, the transfer from Texas, is, quote, definitely going to play for us, unquote. There it is. I don't know. I don't know that much about that story. It doesn't sound great. Final brought to you by Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Window World is online at windowskansascity.com. Simply the best for less. Official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, mypillow.com and mystore.com. Please use the promo code KKHI at mypillow.com. They're offering the four-pillow bundle for $99 right now. Then the promo code KKHI. Save big at mypillow and mystore.com. Our final was the lead of our patron podcast yesterday. I did a whole bunch on this. I won't do as much today, but I thought it was a pretty cool deal that well in advance of the deadline, the Teamsters and UPS came to agreement, and mostly the drivers got a new deal, and we didn't have any disruption in any of our service that lets us just continue to be lazy Americans and have everything dropped at our door so we don't have to actually leave home and go buy something. So we can kill all the malls and tear them down and turn them into parking lots or whatever. Anyway, this is the largest collective bargaining agreement ever. I grew up in a union household. I still believe there are reasons for unions, and I think this is one of them. I think without this representation, that these drivers would not, these drivers are incredibly valuable, whether you're over-the-road truckers or the guy that delivers the package to your house or lady, you're incredibly valuable to American society today. Your value has never been greater than it is today. We all know this. It's getting, the value of what you do is becoming more and more and more, and the roads are getting more and more crowded. Your job is getting harder, 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 and you got a hell of a raise, and you deserve every nickel of it. And the Teamsters worked out a deal for a $30 billion raise for their drivers, including immediately a $3 an hour raise for everyone, full and part-time, $3 an hour, boom, beginning in August. And by the end of the contract, the most veteran drivers will make $49 an hour, which is if you only work 40 hours a week, only 40, and there's plenty of overtime available. Sometimes you just can't get done in the amount of time and you get paid more. $49 an hour is $102,000 a year with the best benefits you ever had. Would you like for your young people or grandchildren to reconsider college at this point? Think about that. It's not the person who has to climb up on an electrical tower and fix something in dangerous jobs. It's not steel workers up on beams building high rises. Mm-mm. You got a seatbelt, a safe vehicle, you're driving. Not that you can't get hurt doing that. You certainly can. You're driving for UPS and doing that thing. $102,000 a year. Woo! And you get union benefits for life. You're a Teamster for life and you got a sweet benefits package with UPS. Good for you guys. That is our final. I'm happy for UPS, and I love it when this works out. And clearly UPS said, we got too much money on the line here. We need our drivers desperately. Let's just pay them. We'll pass it along to the customers. This is going to keep going up. You want to talk about an industry where people are going to make more and more money? UPS and FedEx is it. It is absolutely, these are going to be some of the highest paying jobs anywhere because they are absolutely critical to the way we live in America today. They're critical. And they'll just pass along the cost to us. And we won't care. We'll sit on our fat butts on the couch and still order crap off Amazon we don't need. And the UPS person will drop it at the door. And you didn't have to leave and go fight people at the mall or talk to somebody stupid at the counter. Because we're Americans. Ugh. Way to go, UPS and your drivers, along with the Teamsters. It's our final today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.